right. So, to begin with, everything we go over here, you can find on Moodle in Estonian, in Russian, and in English. The PowerPoints are open and you may look at them. The syllabus up at the moment is exactly the information you will go through with me during this semester. However, the dates are still a little bit off. Sorry about that. I'll get a corrected version for you, but the assignments are the same and the material will be the same. During this semester, we have a course going on with third year students, and they're covering the same information. So that's the calendar you see there at the moment, but I'll get you an updated version soon. Just a little bit briefly about the syllabus. The goal of this course is that this is a survey of religion from a Christian perspective. So you will, I will teach you the basic information you need to know about the other religions, but I do it purposefully also from a Christian perspective. This is a Christian seminary. It's not a non-religious school. So there is an angle that it's important for you to learn from. And obviously, as such, it's different than you just gaining knowledge about other faiths. It's also how Christians would understand these other faiths. And you'll see how we do that as we go along. Also, Tavit Taimla has a class later today, and you may discuss some of the things we discussed today from a missiological perspective. So that's maybe an important difference to understand than maybe, I know my son, who is in Estonian schools in seventh grade, is learning some things about Jesus, for instance. And they teach it from a non-religious standpoint. As an aside, I was actually somewhat pleased to see that it was not negative what they were teaching. And if anything, it did a pretty fair job of what they taught about Christ and what Christians believe. At least that was last year. So regardless, they would not say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life for everybody in secular non-religious schools, where here, of course, we would. So after the completion of this course, I'm hoping that you will know the major figures of several important religious movements. Obviously, we cannot cover every religion that is on the face of the earth. This is impossible. Kuli and I were just in Egypt on vacation, and they went over the Egyptian gods on the tour that we were with, our guide. And he actually shared with us that there are 4 million people on the face of the earth who still believe in the Egyptian gods, amazingly. And he pointed out there is a group from California in the United States who came and they wanted to sacrifice on the altar in one of these temples, to which I responded, there are many strange things that go on in California. But that said, we're not going to cover ancient Egyptian religion, even though 4 million people may practice it today. It would just be impossible to cover all of those faiths. But there is a reason behind the ones we cover. As you will see. Also, you know the basic beliefs and practices of the major religions. Now, I should point out that as far as knowing the basic beliefs, this is an introductory level class, and as you will see, it is almost impossible to completely understand another person's religion. After all, it takes a lifetime to completely start to understand some of these faiths. And you will sort of get it, but in 2 hours, even if we spent the entire session on one religion, you will not completely understand it. For instance, when I was in America, I took a number of classes in seminary on other religions. Missions, in some ways, was my focus at seminary. We went to a Hindu temple. We'll talk about Hinduism today. Someone who is to be we'll learn, there's priestly classes, segments of society. If you're born into a priestly class, you will probably be a priest and so forth and so on, that is highly likely. The person who was to be a priest, who guided us on the tour, was like a 12-year-old child. However, he was learning all of this stuff from a very early age all the way up to like college age from his parents. You're not going to learn in a short class everything there is to know about these faiths. That takes a lifetime. And sometimes it will be difficult for you to even get your mind around, how can someone believe that? How does that work, kind of thing? And to give you an example of what I mean on that, a religion we will not go over is one called Christian Science, Christian Scientists. There is a teacher by the name of Mary Baker Eddy. Have any of you heard that name or have heard of Christian Scientists? Well, they have beliefs that a number of different religions through time have had, that if you can taste something, touch something, smell something, hear, but regardless, if it's physical, it really doesn't exist. And that it's just, how can I put it? It's a figment of your imagination that it is there. And your problem is that you think it exists. And they'll have thoughts about that has all sorts of ramifications. So if you think you're sick, you're not, because you can't be sick, because that implies you have a body. And your body can, something that does not exist cannot be, you know, like imagine if you had a limb cut off and you feel pain. Some people report that. How? You know, so you've got to get over this issue as part of your issue of salvation, that you think the physical world exists. So you're going to come as a Christian. You're going to come as someone who believes in science. You're going to come as someone who trusts your senses and have questions like, well, if that's the case, then why should I eat food or drink water if this is my problem? Or why would I build a house? Why would I pay physical money for someone to build something that does not exist? Why do I have physical money? So you're going to have all these questions, and they're all very legitimate, but it's because you don't come from inside that system. And so you'll never get over all of those mental issues with what you're hearing. But in their minds, this all works. So just try to understand what you can understand. Some of these will just come from very different angles that you just don't grasp. And as a Christian, as someone from the modern world, I would say, well, I understand why you don't, but try to work with it and try to understand the best you can. You will not 100% get it always. So you'll know also, understand the cultural, religious, and political worldview out of which these faiths arose. When we get to, for instance, Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness, a religion called Sikhism, you will find that the world in which they were born was very important, and why it is that they came to the beliefs that they did. For instance, you will find with Mormonism that many of the things that they, out of their religion, were kind of popular in American culture at that time. And so that's why these things did not just form out of nowhere. There was a cultural context, and that cultural context and religious context is very, very important to understanding those religions. Also, once again, the Christian element. You will be able to explain the differences between several important religious movements and Christianity. It's good not just to understand that religion, but as Christians also be understanding how we interact with this. What's different here from a Christian perspective? And also know how to share the Christian faith with a believer of a different religion. And these are just fundamental principles. What might be appealing to someone of a different faith about Christianity? And I hope that this is more of a practical understanding. Like you have a Hindu, for instance, who starts working at your job site. So sort of the conversation you would have over coffee, or someone comes to your church from, I have a small English-speaking ministry here in the Tallinn congregation, and we've had people who are Hindu come to our church service. So what is it that you would say in such an interaction that they might find appealing about Christianity? Every religion has things that are good in it, if you will, from a Christian perspective, in the sense that many religions have morality, for instance. We can connect on that level. I mean, in Islam, stealing is clearly wrong, and so forth and so on. We believe in one God, like Muslims would. But we have very different views about the nature of God, and even the relational nature of God. There are some differences there. We believe in a more personal God than Islam, for instance. That may be something that is good to know, because sometimes Muslims are looking for a more personal God, if you will, than Allah would be. So we'll look at that. And hopefully at a level that is useful to you where you're at, either as a pastor, future pastor, or just someone who has someone in the workplace that you can just talk kind of about religious things. And I can say in Estonia, because this is such a secular culture, sometimes the very fact that you both believe in God could be a starting point, right? This is not a slap at Estonia. I mean, in America, unfortunately, we're becoming far more secular, agnostic atheists than we were when I was born. I mean, it's an unfortunate trend in the world. So you have basically the outline of the different things we will cover there. Today we'll get into Hinduism only in this class. Regarding your required reading, Estonian language students can read Ma Ilma Usundid by Christopher Partridge. It has the chapters there. Russian language students and English students read from The World Religions by Houston Smith. chapters 2, 3, and 6. Those resources are in the library. I will say that one criticism I have had of Houston Smith is that especially the English language student sort of angle, that he's very philosophical. That language can be very difficult if it is not your first language. And I can say that, I get it as an English speaker, though I've studied this stuff, so maybe I've got a leg up on that. But I will say this, on all of these sources, if you give me another source, because he is a Methodist minister, but he's a very liberal Methodist minister, incredibly liberal Methodist minister. So he's coming from what I would consider a religious studies perspective, as is the Estonian source. So if you have another source, for instance, in Latvian would be fine, you have a different source in Russian, just run it by me, and I'm open to the idea of you reading something different. We'll discuss it and talk about page number count and all of that. If you do not, if you're fine with these sources, use these sources. I'll put it that way. Regarding your evaluations, your graded assignments, there's class participation. You're expected to ask questions. We will have group discussions, so kind of interact in those, and attend class. And you have your criteria there. Second assignment is an exam. This is pretty straightforward. You'll be given an exam on Moodle, and I'll clarify the date for you on that. It will be the week or so after class is when it will be on Moodle. It'll be open 7 days, so you'll have time. I'll correct that date for the exam. So there'll be 20 true-false, 20 multiple-choice questions, and one short answer based on the lectures. So be taking some notes, be studying the PowerPoints, and you should do fine on that. The third assignment will be to write a 5 to 7 page paper on one of the aspects of a world religion covered in the course. It may deal with a religion's belief regarding salvation, holy scriptures, the afterlife, or any other topic which you should choose related to that religion. To be clear, I am not asking for an overview of a religion. We go over that in the course. So I don't want to hear about, the paper to be on something so broad as, say, Buddhism. I want, okay, well, what do Buddhists believe about salvation? That specific issue. You could do a paper on the doctrine of God in Islam. So something specific about a religion. And also in that paper, the paper should also demonstrate how this belief is similar or different from Christian belief. So for instance, if you had the doctrine of God in Islam, you would point out that there is one God, That's really all there is to it. Where in Christianity, you have the Trinity. So you'd have to explain how they view those differently. Maybe how Muslims, because we have the Trinity, sometimes accuse Christians of being believing in more than one God, and so forth and so on. So things like that. And finally, in that paper, it's best if you clear the topic with me, just to make sure, because there's sometimes there isn't enough information on what you might want to research, or it just might be too broad. But you have the criteria there for the paper. And once again, I'll clarify the dates. All of this will be due after the class is finished. So looking that over, do you have any questions about the syllabus or assignments? All right. Well, as we begin this course, I just want to give you a little bit of a discussion about the religions that we will cover. We cover some religions which are classified as world religions, and ones that are often in literature covered under things called sects and cults. And I just want you to be aware of that terminology. So, yes. So religion can be divided, the religions we'll cover will be divided into, can be divided into, some are world religions. Sometimes people will call them sects, and sometimes cults. So I just want you to be aware that terminology is out there, and give you a little bit of a guidance on why certain religions are classified the way that they are. So you will find that these definitions can be tricky, because some people will classify certain things as world religions, that others will classify in different ways. The same with sects and cults as well. So, first of all, what is a world religion? There are usually one way, shape, or form, people will usually classify world religions using three criteria. There may be more, generally the definitions look at a world religion as having three basic elements to it. So in your own mind, when you think of a world religion, how would you personally classify that? What does something have to be in order to be a world religion? What do you think? Okay, a lot of followers. Yep, that's a good criteria. It's big. It is big. That's one word you can put down. One criteria is that it's big. Okay, Anita says very correctly, it is old. It has been around a long, long, long time. In most cases, we are talking thousands of years. Some of them are so old, it's a little bit tricky to say when exactly they truly began. They are so old. so a lot of followers that it is old. Think also about that term world religion. Hebke says represented on all continents. Yes, it is everywhere. So it's big, it's old, it's everywhere. And that generally is the case, that are the three criteria that you would use to say, yes, this is indeed a world religion. Now, that said, in this classification system, there's exceptions all over the place. And it's almost like one of those criteria, if it's so old, it sometimes can trump the fact, override the fact that it's not everywhere. For instance, we will go over a religion called Sikhism. It's generally classified as a world religion, and Jainism. However, they only have, you know, a few million followers, and it's in India. But religious scholars have determined that generally you will find it in world religion textbooks because they are have been influential in a number of ways. Also with Sikhism, you will find that as far as world religions go, it's kind of new. It's only about 500-600 years old. So once again, one of those criteria kind of slips away for some strange reason. Also, there is disagreements sometimes over what is a world religion. How many of you, just by show of hands, you can all show a hand, have heard of Mormonism? Okay. You've all heard of Mormonism. Would you say, in your opinion, and this is an opinion question, that's an open question, say that it is a world religion? Erkis definitely says no. Okay, no. How about no? Okay, anybody say yes? Yes, okay, Nita says yes. There is a very famous religious study scholar who I would recommend you reading on Christian matters, actually, by the name of Rodney Stark. Actually, Rodney Stark, until just fairly recently, was not a Christian, but he thought there were a lot of good things in Christianity that could be learned, and over time he became a Christian. So much of his research was done in an era he was not, but he is of the strong opinion, and he wrote an article a few years ago, that he thought that Mormonism had now reached the point that it should be considered not as a Christian sect or cult, we'll get into that terminology in a moment, but that it actually has gotten large enough and spread around the world enough that it should be considered a religion on its own. Most religious scholars disagree with him. They think that it's still close enough to Christianity that it's one of those other classification systems. But the point is, these things aren't 100% in agreement, these classifications. However, generally speaking, if it's big, old, and everywhere, and by old, my personal definition would be 1,000 years or more, it is a world religion. You will see that as we go along, because actually, showing how confusing this can be sometimes, there are some Christians who would consider Islam a Christian heresy, a Christian false teaching. And there is an argument to be made here. But the vast, vast majority of people would classify it as a world religion. So what about cult and sect? What are these? And I use the words together because, in my opinion, the definitions get very close together. Cult used to be that not only did you believe something that, first to give you an idea of what they mean, basically what cults and sects are usually are religions that have diverged, gone away from a host religion in ways that most people in that host religion find strange. So they started out Christian, for instance, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, for instance. They start out from a Christian base. They both have belief in the Bible. They both have belief in Jesus Christ. Having been to a Mormon, I've been to a Mormon worship service. I had to go for a class actually on Christian cults, it was called. Of course, I did not tell people when they asked me what the name of the class I was coming from, because they wouldn't have liked that. And I didn't want to offend on that ground. You know, yes, you're a cult. Because cult also has that connotation of devil worshipers, if you will, or so do things like sacrifice kids, which is not exactly accurate anymore in the definition, but it can be. So you don't want to say that to them. But having gone there, if you went to a Mormon service, you might very well think, depending on what they're reading that sermon, their holy books that week, if they just kept to the Bible, might think I was at a Christian worship service. So they're still close in some sense, but they have gone off in a different direction. And the host religion, in this case Christianity, would not consider them necessarily their religion. But they're not quite a world religion. Does that make sense? So that's kind of a difference. And we will go over a couple of those with the Jehovah's Witness and Mormons, because I think it's important for you to know a little bit about these movements. Because even in in America and in Estonia, I have been visited by the Jehovah's Witnesses at least twice. What's that? Okay, so you have a Mormon living in your building. Yeah. Yes, yes. So it's kind of good to know what it is that they believe. And, you know, it's interesting because I think as we go through these things too, that we can also, obviously we do not take their teachings, their doctrine, their beliefs with us, but there are some things, positive things we can learn from other religions. I'm very impressed by how the Mormons and Jehovah's Witness evangelize, for instance. I have to give them that. That's just a little bit about the classifications. So with that introduction, next session, next hour, we will start looking at Hinduism. And I will tell you from the beginning, just try to understand as best you can. In my personal opinion, Hinduism is the most complicated religion we will cover. And it is pretty much, I don't know if this is the right word, tradition that this would be the first faith you would cover in a world religion course or a religion course, because they are the oldest, aside as I believe in Christianity, Judaism, with that caveat. But that said, by tradition, so you start with the hardest. And I kind of equate it with this. Last year, my oldest son was baptized, and so I went through a catechism with him. And in that catechism, they start with the Trinity. And I was thinking in Christianity, probably that is the most difficult place in some ways for us to start. It's the most complicated part of Christianity. So I guess they do the same thing in religious studies courses. All right. It's about 9:50, so let's take a break until 10:05. Come back at 10:05, and we will begin with Hinduism.